Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the show four dynamic, talented, excellent, humorous players who are going to show their skills as we play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my left, Paul Merton and Lisa Tarbuck, and seated on my right, Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. Please welcome all four. It's Sarah Sharp who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we have a lovely, hearty Radio 4 lot of listeners here who are going to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul, here's a long subject, but try your best with it. How to pass the time if you're stuck in traffic? 60 seconds, starting now.
There are many ways of passing the time if you're stuck in traffic. You can listen to the car radio. Perhaps radios too.
Repeat of radio.
It was a repeat of radio.
No, it was radio and radios. Radios too.
Then I apologise.
No, don't apologise.
No,
we like keen listener. Yes, well, no, Paul, yes, he's played the game so often, he knows the tricks. Right, so, Paul, an incorrect challenge. And so you get a point for that, and you keep the subject, and there are 53 seconds available. How to pass the time if you're stuck in traffic, starting now.
Making faces at the other stuck motorist is one way of passing the time. Pretend that you are a ghoulish fiend out on a midnight feast if you find yourself stuck in traffic in the daytime or indeed the night hours.
Sue, challenge.
I thought daytime hours would be an odd time to have a midnight feast, but Paul cleverly went on to say nighttime.
That's right, yes.
Once again, I've merely fallen into his trap.
Yeah. I got here about 5 hours earlier.
And I'm 6 hours late, I think, so...
Anticipation of what it could have been. Paul, there's still 39 seconds for you.
39.
And you've got another point for an incorrect challenge. How to pass the time if you're stuck in traffic, starting now.
One way is to access the internet. Some cars now have the ability to get you onto this marvellous invention of the 1990s. I, particularly when I am stuck in traffic, look towards the novels of Ernest Hemingway. Here was a man who was not afraid, originally the first chairman of Just a Minute. He was a character who wrote books...
Graham, your challenge.
I would say... I think that was a deviation.
Well, he wasn't the first chairman.
Wasn't he?
No.
I wasn't even... I'd stopped listening at that point.
I may look as old as Ernest Hemingway, but actually I did the original pilot and I've been in it ever since.
Oh, right.
Yes. So didn't get any reaction from the audience, did he?
Some people actually say you're the best chair we've ever had.
Yeah. Graham,
yes.
You have a correct challenge.
All right.
So you take over the subject. You have a point, of course, for a correct challenge. And it's 19 seconds available. How to pass the time if you're stuck in traffic, starting now.
How I like to pass time when I'm stuck in traffic is trying to think of new swear words, because I get bored of the old ones to be shouted at people in the traffic, because although rather placid in life, once in a car, I rage.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Graham Norton, so he's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead. And Lisa, we'd like you to start the next round. The subject is bikers. I don't know whether that's something within your
remit.
That's a good word, yes.
I think you know it is.
Yes, all right. We try and think of subjects which will appeal to our different players. Well, there are 60 seconds available, starting now.
Bikers fall into two categories, the carefree...
Sue, challenge.
Slight hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation.
Whoa, Perkins! Whoa! Back off!
But she hasn't played the game for a while.
I feel like a gender traitor.
But you still like the point.
Yeah.
No, I tell you what, we'll give you a point because we enjoyed your comment.
Yeah.
A bonus point.
Tell that to the sisterhood.
But I'm going to leave it with Lisa because she'd hardly got going. 57 seconds, Lisa. Bikers starting now.
The Brotherhood of Bikers is a place I'm very happy to be. Clad in Oh!
Were they vegetarian?
Clad in lettuce.
So, Paul, you challenge first.
Oh, sadly, a hesitation.
That was a definite hesitation.
Tongue of leather.
What were you trying to say? Leathers or lettuce?
Leathers.
Leathers.
I like the idea of lettuce. A man only wearing rocket astride a Harley Davidson.
Paul, correct challenge. 52 seconds available. Bikers, starting now.
If you go down to the East Sussex coast, somewhere like Rye, you will see many bikers travelling around there in the summer months. The roads are twisty and turning, and there's something about those particular modes of getting around that appeals to the bikers who gather there. There is an air of menace as they come into town. The smell of leopards and leather is heavy. What's the matter with that?
So you challenge.
Deviation. I mean, I don't know if the leopards are a normal biking accoutrement.
Yeah.
Do they always, well, they have a sort of a big cat.
Haven't we established leopards?
No, we haven't established it, but they could smell of leopard.
Yeah, they do.
They could be an animal trainer.
A lot of them
the
live very close to Whipsnade Zoo.
It's no way.
They bathe the leopards before they go on their bike.
Yeah. It's
you've
a ritual.
Helped them out. You've raised money for them, haven't you, Nicholas?
I asked for the leopards.
Yeah.
That's right, yes. No, I mean,
you helped them try and change their spots, but you wouldn't have it, would they?
Listen, I'm on your side on this one, Paul.
Oh, OK, all right, fine.
Don't try to talk it.
Excellent chairman, best chairman we've ever had. Excellent chairman.
So, with the wildest stretch of imagination, they could smell of leopards if they,
exactly.
if they wanted to. Yes. So, Paul, you have another point. 29 seconds available. Bikers
there was no deviation there whatsoever.
Girl on a Motorcycle starred Marianne Faithfull and was produced and directed by Jack Cardiff, who was a cameraman, but this is one of his first forays into direction. It was a magnificently erotic film to see if you were a 14-year-old boy, because the aforementioned actress was clad in this animal skin. And it was beautifully sensuous as her curves. I'm going to have to lie down. It's a no
good.
Deviation into erotic reverie.
Yes.
Sue, there are 6 seconds available. It's with you now. Bikers starting now.
How I love a grizzly faced man or woman clad in leather.
All challenge.
No, I'm sorry. I was being a bit mean there. I thought we hadn't quite got to bikers yet, but
well, she'd only just got going.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I had a very clear vision of a biker.
Yes, man, male or female.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So an incorrect challenge doesn't matter. You get another point, Sue, and you have 3 seconds. Bikers are starting now.
Leopard under one arm, cheetah with the other.
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. She's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead. Then comes Graham Norton and then Lisa Tarbuck in that order. And Graham, would you begin the next round?
Yes.
Ooh, the 7 deadly sins. Tell us. Why, because it's Graham, should you go, ooh?
An air of anticipation.
I know. All right, 60 seconds as usual, Graham, starting now.
Sloth, gluttony are 2 of the 7 deadly sins. I could list them all, but I don't mean to patronise you in any way, as I'm sure you're very familiar with the missing 5 that I haven't mentioned. Why only 7? That's what I ask myself. I feel laziness has even played a part there. There must be more than 7. Isn't it great that I can say 7 more than once?
Why the challenge?
Hesitation.
It was, yeah.
No, he didn't hesitate.
Oh. Well, I think there might have been. I think there might have been.
He was pausing for effect, and he said, you know, isn't it marvellous you can say 7 more than once? No, he might have been teetering on hesitation, but not quite. Now, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Graham. I will find an occasion where I can give the benefit of the doubt
to
you.
Oh, my word!
And 28 seconds still available for you, Graham, on the 7 deadly sins starting now.
The 7 deadly sins, yes, I said 7, are deadly sins because I believe if you commit them, then you will go to hell. Hell, I'm pretty sure I can say that without fear of contradiction.
All chance.
Well, deviation, it's a big thing to say you're going to hell and then without fear of contradiction, because hell is a place, it's a very debatable concept whether it exists or not.
Yes, but then the concept of sin is quite debatable.
Exactly, the whole business needs looking at.
Yes. This subject's ridiculous. I can't believe you gave it to me, Nicholas.
Seven deadly sins.
I don't think we've got time to...
become the moral maze. Yes.
It's up the laughter.
I don't think we've got time to go into whether it's up for debate or not, but, Paul, what was your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Within the rules of Just a Minute, which are narrow but very, very wonderful, I have no challenge. But on the broader aspect of whether hell exists or not...
I like the fact that
I think it's deviation, because I think Graham can't say I'm sure I can't be contradicted. Because he can be.
It was a very interesting comment that you made, but not worthy of getting a point.
No. So
this show's not ready for metaphysics yet.
Exactly. But nevertheless, very interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. Right. Graham, another point to you for an incorrect challenge. 11 seconds still available. The seven deadly sins starting now.
Surely Nicholas has committed some sort of eighth deadly sin by allowing to torture me by giving me back this subject about which...
Paul Shannon.
This deviation, we've moved on to the eighth deadly sin. Of course, the subject is the seven deadly sins, so I'm all, terribly...
I think Paul has a point.
Yeah. You obviously don't want the subject anymore. I actually disagree with you, Graham. I don't think... I mean, you didn't actually deviate from the subject. You said there could have been or there should have been eighth the deadly sins. Yeah. So that wasn't deviating
from the
subject.
No, it's not deviating from seven. No, of course not. It's exactly the same number.
It isn't the same number.
Isn't it? Oh,
it's contrasting the fact there are seven, but there could have been eight, or there should have been eight, or there could have been eight. There are eight in his mind. Yeah. Some people have eight in their minds. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm. Yeah. I've got Cinzano on my mind.
Ooh. So, Graham, you don't want the subject, but you've got it again still. 5 seconds, the seven deadly sins starting now.
When I was at drama school, we had to do animal study, and I...
Lisa,
just deviation now. It's just going beyond the joke. Yeah.
Fix that one, Nicholas.
Unless he dressed as a starfish and someone entertained lustful thoughts.
No. Actually, where I was going was, I actually did the sloth.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And I've still got slothy hands. Look at them.
Graham, you've lost the subject, so don't try and get it back again.
No,
that one is against you, right. So, it was a correct challenge, Lisa. And you have half a second. On the seven deadly sins starting now.
I'll set mine.
Lisa Tarbuck speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. They're all pretty equal, so I won't give you the score.
Oh, dear.
Oh, the tension is palpable.
Yeah. Wish they did that more on Mastermind.
I'll give it the end of the next round. Because, Sue, we're with you to begin. And the subject now is my daily workout, starting now.
It comes as no mystery that I am one of Britain's finest sportswomen, stopped only from attaining my ultimate Olympic dream by the fact I have a personality. Nonetheless, every single morning I wake and embark on my morning workout.
Paul Jones.
Unpatriotic!
So what are you going to say, Paul?
Well, I address the concerns of the audience here. I think it's deviation to say that athletes don't have personality, because they do.
Some of them do have personality,
but
I think your challenge, as we were playing just a minute, she got such a lovely reaction when she said that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give
mixture
her the benefit
of hatred,
of the doubt.
Mixture of hatred, regret, bitterness.
I said I would find an opportunity to give you the benefit of the doubt, and you have got it now, Sue. So you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You have 45 seconds. My daily workout starting now.
I like to start by rolling my eyes skyward. This can take upward of 4.5 hours, especially when I'm listening to the Today programme's thought for that particular jour. Then I decide to put on a pair of baggy Fruit of the Loom overalls and slip my way to the nearest cappuccino maker, whereupon I may perform a simple ritual of pressing a button, whereupon Brown's...
Well, Lisa
Chan.
Two whereupons.
Ooh. Oh, she's as good as they say.
It's a big word.
I don't know. It's a big word. Why you go, ooh? I don't know.
let a horse go.
Lisa.
Do you know what I mean?
You have a correct challenge.
Anything now, under three, I let go.
Yeah, you do. You've been known for that.
Yeah.
No. Fair. Lisa, let's hear about your daily workout. The subject is actually my daily workout, and there are 21 seconds starting now.
I get up, don a leather jerkin, open a packet of Capstan full smell. I can't say words. I was going to say full strength. Obviously, I nearly said smelt.
You, I think you're smelting at that time in the morning.
Yeah, God. You know me and iron.
I've seen the cauldron, baby. Keeping it real.
So, Sue, your challenge?
Well, just the fact that capstan full smelts haven't been invented yet. The new cheesy way to enjoy nicotine.
Deviation from English as we understand it. Right, my daily workout's back with you, Sue, and there are 15 seconds available starting now.
I might lift a letter, parcel perhaps, depending on what's been delivered, and slump luxuriously into the sofa, whereupon one of my digits will find... What happened to my Dickensian vocabulary? Whereupon the young lady decided to visit. I've gone 19th century on my own ass.
I think it has that effect on you, this game.
Yeah, yeah.
It does bring out sort of archaic words on occasions, or period words like whereupon. Yeah. But anyway, Graham.
It brought it out three times now.
Yes.
And Graham, you've got 5 seconds to tell us something about my daily workout starting now.
My daily workout is extremely grueling. I have a...
And we'll never know, but he was speaking as a whistle went, so Graham Norton got another point. He's now equal with Sue Perkins in the lead, and there are 3 points ahead of Paul Merton and Lisa Tarbuck in second place. Lisa, your turn to begin. Valentine's Day, that's the subject, 60 seconds, starting now.
Valentine's Day is based on an old Roman festival where they used to worship the she-wolf that suckled Romulus and Remus, and half of Rome would turn up outside her ex-cave, slaughter 2 goats and a dog, pull its insides out and run round the walls of Rome and punch women for fertility.
I love it when somebody goes like that and corpses themselves with laughter at what she said. Well done, Lisa, but you were challenged with 40 seconds to go, and it was you, Sue. What is your challenge?
Hesitation, but also the fact that they'd punch them for fertility. long been proven to be the most effective way of helping people conceive. A good rabbit
Absolutely
punch.
Absolutely true, though.
I also like standing outside so we get an ex-cave. is that just a wall?
No, I think Lisa's right.
This cave is an ex-cave.
There is a certain truth about that punching business, but let's not go into it.
Punch women to see if they're fertile.
Yeah, in that particular time, with Romulus and Remus's time,
true.
Yes.
Okay, you were there, of course.
Yeah. He was Romulus and Remus's support act.
Middleman.
They're here, they're brought up by wolves, there's two of them, you know who they are. Romulus and Remus, Cavaletium.
Roll up, ladies, fancy a punch.
So I come on just a minute just to have my morale boosted all the time. So, Sue, a correct challenge. 40 seconds. Valentine's Day starting now.
Valentine's Day is the most depressing day of the year because people are forced to be happy, and if you're not in love and excitable and delirious with amour, you have to sit in a restaurant and watch people face-hugging to the point of distraction. So much saliva in such a small area. Hands locked, faces melding, and me in jet black alone.
Graham challenge.
A repetition of face.
Yes, you do have more than one face.
Yes. I'm known for it.
And who knew I was listening? I didn't.
And if I was playing the game, I would have you for deviation of a feeling and emotion. Valentine's Day is a lovely day. It's where people express their love for each other.
But when you've been punched as many times as I have... by men checking if I'm fertile. It really takes their shine off it.
How are the triplets?
Well, say no more on that one. Graham, 19 seconds available.
19 seconds?
19 seconds, yes. Valentine's Day starting now.
When I worked in restaurants, nobody wanted to be on the shift on Valentine's Day because it seems that lovers are also very cheap. They would order half... We never saw so many half bottles of wine.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of half.
Yeah, yes, he drawled it half.
I started to talk.
Then, talk normally.
Normal brain talking.
In an engaged way.
Yes, Paul, a correct challenge. So, 3 seconds available. Valentine's Day starting now.
If you punch her, she gets up. She must be fertile. That's what...
So, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, and he's moved forward. He's in a strong second place. Sue Perkins is still in the lead, just 2 points ahead, and Lisa's draining them just a little. And, Graham, your turn to begin. The subject is being house proud. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Give me a cushion, I will scatter it. Hand me a rug, I will throw it.
Paul, Sue challenged.
Repetition of I will.
Oh, yes.
Picky!
Yes. Repetition
of picky. Graham, that was hardly picky. You really emphasised it. I will.
All right, don't go on about it.
So, Sue, a correct challenge, 55 seconds available. Being house proud, starting now.
My house looks like a cross between a dungeon and Skip. Rarely can I find a work surface which doesn't have piles of paper, things I've received from relatives long ago gathering dust. I'm not organised. I don't understand ironing. Help me, Anthea Turner. Only...
Paul Challenge.
Well, it's an iron which heats up. Pressure of the hot metal on the fabric sort of puts an iron crease into it. Yes. That's how it works.
OK.
But she asked for Anthea Turner's help, not yours.
Yeah, she's not...
Yeah, but to be fair, Paul is easier on the eye.
Can I help if I'm depping for her?
I think we could tell the difference.
Yes.
Right. So an incorrect challenge,
yeah,
I'm afraid.
Yeah.
So, Sue, another point to you. 37 seconds. Being house proud, starting now.
Somebody once told me the best way to be house proud and to make a room look nice was to have an accent wall. I have no idea what this is, so I bought some brown paint and spattered it. Looked a little like Jackson Pollock. Nonetheless, it added a certain je ne sais quoi to my home environment, and people were delighted as they entered the room.
Graham challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there were people before.
Whereupon I must agree.
So, Graham, you've got in with 21 seconds. Again, your subject, which you started with, being house proud, starting now.
Nothing makes me happier, well, very little does, than comparing paint colours, swatches of fabric, perhaps a necru or a duck egg blue.
Paul Challenge.
Sorry, has the word fabric got a hyphen in the middle of it?
What
does that mean?
When you're house proud, yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
The fair mating enough. Cry of a grieve.
He was dragging it out a
he
bit.
Was dragging but, it out, was
yes,
it?
But I don't think it was enough
not
to
enough,
interpret it.
Yeah.
You still understood the word fabric.
You understood.
Eventually, yes.
If you'd forgotten the by the time I got to the brick, then I would have stretched it out to you.
It was nice to get it in instalments.
Yeah. By the yard.
And also, I have to give benefits of the doubt on occasions. On this occasion, Graham, you've got a benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
So you have that one, and you have 10 seconds still, being house proud, starting now. Lisa Challenge.
I just got in with a hesitation. As he took a breath in.
Shoot me for breathing.
Yeah. I could see Brian Sewell gathering his chest for more, and I was having none of it.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
No, I'm sorry, Lisa. He did take in a breath, but not long enough to be a pause.
No.
Not in just a minute, no.
Oh, see, don't turn them, because when they get nasty...
I know you want to hear from them, lovely Lisa, but I've got to be fair within the rules of just a minute. So, Graham, another point to you, being house proud. And
nice.
There are 9 seconds starting now.
You can sand down floors and do things to them. With honey, in fact, which seems very odd. Or maybe it's wax, I'm not sure.
Sue, challenge.
I'd say deviation, because honey is very odd, and simply wax would be the better option.
Well, I corrected myself very quickly there.
He did correct himself.
Yes, Sue.
Yeah, but you were going to... You were about to embark on...
What do you know? You live in a skip.
Yeah. If you look at the bottom of the skip, it won't have honey in it. At least I can walk across the floor of the skip without fear of being stuck to it.
No, Graham, I'm still with you. 4 seconds, being house proud, starting now.
Being house proud is a very important thing. If people come round... Oh.
So, Graham Norton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. And we're moving into the final round. So let me tell you the situation as we do. Graham Norton's actually in the lead, and he's 1 point ahead of Sue Perkins, and a few more ahead of Paul Merton, and a few more still ahead of Lisa Tarver. Sue, we're going to begin with you on this round here. It's a loose cannon. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
A loose cannon's a maverick personality, a renegade, someone like Jeremy Clarkson, who, despite all scientific evidence, decides the best way to approach the environment is by being a loose cannon, shouting his mouth off, "Oh, the polar bears aren't hungry, and if they are, I'll just drive my Mercedes straight past them and chuck something like a sandwich from Pret-a-Manger in their face. They'll love a bit of it. It is, after all, sardine-flavoured, which is akin to something they might get in the wild. He can't help himself. He's exactly the kind of eccentric loose cannon we're used to in this country. And it's strange we still give them airtime. Nonetheless, there he is. If there's a right-thinking opinion, he will merely take the converse route. He will permanently like to pursue the path of most resistance. Of course, I say this is a liberal. There are many out there who might feel that what he has to say is absolutely correct and perfectly within his rights to say. However, on the other hand, loose cannons may be fun to watch.
Well, it doesn't often happen in just a minute, especially when you have three clever, bright opponents against you. But Sue started with the subject and she carried on magnificently with it and finished in fine form, as that resounding round of applause indicated your triumph. And you get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. Well done. And you won't be surprised to hear yourself that she's in the lead, but let me tell you that Lisa Tarbuck, who is lovely to have on the show, but she did finish in fourth place. A brilliant, a wonderful fourth place.
She taught us really something about fertility along the way, though, it's fair to say.
Yes, that we'll remember forever.
And she was a few points behind Paul Merton, and he was 1 or 2 points behind Graham Norton. Graham was only 2 points behind our winner.
Don't rub it in.
It's only 2 points,
I know.
Boy. Only two. Right. So a round of applause for our winner, Sue Perkins. So that's all we have time for, alas. So that only means to say thank you to these fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Lisa Tarbuck, Sue Perkins, and Graham Norton. And we think, yes, all right, doesn't it? Also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She'd blown her whistle beautifully after the 60 seconds have elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are indebted to this lovely, warm audience here in the radio theatre, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our lovely audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the four panellists here, goodbye. And tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yay!